Today, as we have this great honor of celebrating the queenship of our Blessed Lady, we also have to recognize that there are many people who call themselves Christian who will look down upon us because of this. How can you call the Blessed Virgin Mary queen? Well, you could look at the book of Revelation and you say, well, there was a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. It's pretty obvious. But you look a little elsewhere. For instance, in the gospel reading today, there is a point that we may not even recognize, but any first century Jewish person would have automatically understood exactly what it meant, and that includes our Blessed Lady. So listen again to what it said in the gospel. It said, "You shall conceive and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he shall be king over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." That means Our Lady is the queen. It's like, wait, it didn't say anything about Our Lady being the queen. What are you talking about? Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. This is where it all comes from. If we go back to the first book of Kings, in the second chapter, this is verse 19 through 20. And this is when Solomon is first made the king. It says, "So Bathsheba," that is Solomon's mother, "so Bathsheba went to the king, to King Solomon, to speak to him on behalf of Adonijah. And the king rose to meet her and bowed down to her. Then he sat on his throne and had a seat brought for the king's mother, and she sat on his right. Then she said, 'I have one small request to make of you. Do not refuse me.' The king said to her, 'Make your request, my mother, for I will not refuse you.'" From that moment forward, in the kingdom of Israel, the king's mother became the queen. We're grateful, I suppose, that it wasn't the king's wife who became the queen, because Solomon had 900 of them. Which one is supposed to be the queen? No, it was the king's mother. So when it says in the gospel that "I will give him the throne of David his father," that means the mother of the king is seated right next to the king on a throne. And her task is to intercede for the people, as we just heard from 1 Kings. And as King Solomon said to his mother, "I will not refuse you anything. Ask, make your request, I will not refuse you." Our Lord will not refuse his mother anything. So she is there seated at his right hand as the queen, and she is interceding for us, for her children. Now, this feast day of the queenship of Mary is relatively recent. 1955 is when it got put into the book. And yet for centuries and centuries, the church has celebrated this. Just think of the Marian antiphons that were sung at the end of Compline every single day. Throughout most the majority of the year was the Regina Caeli, "Hail, Holy Queen." In Easter, it's "Regina Caeli, Laetare," "Queen of Heaven, Rejoice." During Lent, it's the Ave Regina Caelorum, "Hail, Queen of Heaven." Over and over again, you see that same point, because it was well understood in the church that if Jesus is the king, our Blessed Lady is the queen. Now, we can again look at this in a couple of different ways. As we heard in the first reading, which comes from Ecclesiasticus, that "I have put all the hearts of all the high and the low beneath my feet." I remember what it says about our Lord, that God is going to give him the throne, but until all things are subject, all things are put under his feet. And the only one not subject is our Heavenly Father. Now we look at it and say, okay, so is this a position of power? The answer is no. In the earthly idea of kingship, we think of the king as the one with all the power. In the divine realm, it is an office of service. Jesus, remember, is the king, not because he is the Son of God. He is the king because he is the Redeemer of the world. Because he died for our sins and rose from the dead, that is why he is the king. And he is seated with our humanity on the divine throne, and our Blessed Lady, as the queen, as his mother, is next to him. Now again, she is not merely the queen in this case because she is the mother of the king. She is the queen because she gave her entire life in service of Christ and for us, interceding for us throughout, uniting herself with her son at the foot of the cross for us, giving spiritual birth. That's where she became our spiritual mother, was at the foot of the cross. That's where spiritually we were born. All of that happening right there as she was united with her son. So in the Jewish understanding, she is the queen because she's the mother of the king. And when the angel would have said that to her, she would have understood exactly what that meant. If he was going to be the king seated upon the throne of David, then she, as his mother, was going to be the queen seated right next to her son. But if Jesus is the king because he is the Redeemer, then our Blessed Mother is the queen because she is the co-redemptrix. That's the part we have to understand. Yes, according to the way that the Jewish monarchy was set up, she is indeed the queen by right because she's his mother. But she is the queen by charity because of her love for us. And so, like the queen mother of Israel, she intercedes for her children. She wants us to be with her. That's when a mom is in her glory, is it not? When all of her kids are there around the same table. That's what Our Lady wants. She wants us to be there worshiping her son. She wants us to be united with him for eternity. And that's what she is doing, is interceding for us so that that will be a reality one day in each one of us. In the meantime, we continue to worship him. We continue to strive to love him more. And as we come to love him more, we automatically will come to love her more, and vice versa. The more we love her, the more we love him. You cannot separate the two. They're absolutely united in everything. And so it makes perfect sense in God's way. You cannot separate the mother and the son. You cannot separate the king and the queen. You cannot separate the Redeemer and the co-redemptrix. They are united in all things because of love. That's what brings them, that's what unites them, that's what brings them to us. That's what is ultimately going to bring us to them. So ask our Blessed Lady to intercede. She will not be refused anything that she asks for. Pray for your children. Pray that the grace will be given so that they will have conversion, so that their souls will be turned to our Lord, that they too will be able to go to heaven. But pray especially for your own self, for final perseverance, so that no matter what happens, you're not going to lose your salvation. That's always a reality that we have to be aware of. So if we're going to remain faithful, we need our Blessed Lady's intercession. Thanks be to God, our mother is also the queen. Pretty nice. Because, yes, she has all the power, but it's not a position of power. It's a position of service. And in service, she has all the love. All the love of God poured into her that she in turn pours out to us. That is her task as the queen. And so it's not that she sees herself as higher than us, because in order to love that way, she has to be the most humble. She sees herself as the lowest. We have to see her for who she is. But she simply loves us as a mom. She's not interested in trying to be higher than us. She's not interested in being more powerful than us. She's interested in loving us, and she's interested in elevating us to the highest level that we can possibly achieve. And that comes only by loving her son. That's what she desires more than anything. Nothing for herself, but rather that her son would be worshiped and glorified. And by us who will do that, that we in turn will be united and glorified with him for all eternity.